A discussion now of the vulnerabilities of U.S. soldiers in the long, multiple deployments and sometimes uncertain missions in Iraq and Afghanistan. The nature of the stresses in combat and the military have been profiled in a compelling series of stories. You may have heard them by our colleague over at National Public Radio, Rachel Martin. The difficulties of transitioning from military to civilian life underscores the tensions and emotional stakes for soldiers and families during these deployments. The question of mental health maintenance and treatment for soldiers was raised once again in the case of Staff Sergeant Robert Bales, the U.S. soldier accused of killing 17 Afghan civilians in a shooting spree in March. Bales' attorney has filed a request for a list of all medicines the 38-year-old soldier was taking. What is the strategy or policy for dealing with chronic mental health problems, and how widely are drugs prescribed to soldiers? What pills might they be taking with them into the field? Joining us now is Bart Billings, former military psychologist who hosts an annual conference on combat stress. Mr. Billings, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
David Rudd is also with us. He's director of the National Center for Veterans Studies. David Rudd, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Is there a policy, has it evolved, David Rudd, over time for dealing with chronic mental health issues during active duty?
I don't think a clear policy has evolved over time, and part of the issue is that we have to think about and consider what the demands are on the force. That 10 years of war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and now continuing conflict in Afghanistan has strained the force so significantly that oftentimes what you see is that policy is sometimes dictated by demands, and that means having an adequate number of people to meet the demands of the job.
And intuitively speaking, Bart Billings, the stresses that David Rudd has described there would argue, at least to a layperson like myself, yes, these soldiers are going to need as much help as they can get. We should prescribe whatever is medically necessary and appropriate in this situation. But then you think for a moment, you say, well, I don't know if that's such a good idea. If dulling, in some sense, the intensity of what goes on in combat makes a lot of sense over time. What's your impression of the Pentagon's approach to this?
Well, I think the New York Times did a good job in the past. They wrote a story August 3rd, 2011. It's called Antipsychotic Use is Questionable for Combat Stress. The writer who wrote the story, Benedict Carey, described three journal articles, one in the Journal of American Medicine's Journal, JAMA, British Medical Journal, Australian Medical Journal, which pointed out very clearly that antipsychotics as well as antidepressants are not effective in treating combat stress. And there's plenty of evidence that show that these medications not only aren't effective, but the side effects are disastrous. They have a black box warning, which is a very critical warning for medications. And the first warning on the black box is suicidality. The second is poor judgment. Third is anger and hostility, which can translate into homicide. So basically what we're doing is we're looking at a medication that may create more problems than it helps.
And that's the antipsychotics and antidepressants category that you're talking about there. What about powerful sedatives, Haldol, Ambien, not so powerful? Are these used?
Yes, and it's the same thing. They're pretty much similar in terms of the black box warning. And, you know, it's been noted in many articles where people the L.A. Times just did a story 2 days ago, and they talk about an Air Force pilot who had some very extreme side effects where his behavior was inconsistent with who he was. He just lost sight of what he was doing. There's a great book out. It's called Medication Madness by Dr. Peter Breggin, who's a psychiatrist and an expert in the field. And the first chapter in his book describes a gentleman who had no psychiatric mental problems in civilian life and wound up taking antidepressant, Paxil. And before anybody knew it, he was thinking about killing himself and his wife. And he did run a police officer down to get his gun and tried to kill him. And when it was all over with and he was in jail and he detoxed off the medications, he said, no, there's no way I did that. All right, so they have a very toxic effect.
We're talking with Bart Billings, a former military psychologist who hosts an annual conference on combat stress. So we should note that Peter Breggin is a controversial figure in the field, and a lot of people disagree with his opinions there. But the citation is definitely worth mentioning. David Rudd, let me run some figures by you. The The U.S. Army Surgeon General says last year more than 100,000 active duty Army troops were prescribed antidepressants. 20% of U.S. active troops have done three or more common tours. 8% of active duty Army now take sedatives. 6% active duty on antidepressants. Does that sound to you like the Pentagon or the medical practitioners in the Army are using these drugs as a Band-Aid to deal with the stress of multiple deployments? Or does this have a more rational medical necessity basis in your view?
Well, I think that there are times that it is medically necessary. I mean, I think that there are times when we certainly have to use medicines to be effective over the short run. I will tell you that we currently run a treatment program at Fort Carson where we are treating suicide attempters, and medicines are critical sometimes early in the process of treatment. Now, I will tell you that we don't want people to be on medications for indefinite periods of time, but I certainly have seen medicines save lives. And I do want to comment about the FDA black box warning. I actually was involved in an early group that looked at those charts and classified those behaviors. I think it's critical to understand that when the FDA black box warning label was placed on those medications, it originally was based on pediatric antidepressant trials. In 4,400 cases, not a single person committed suicide. I think it's important to recognize that. The numbers are relatively small. You're talking about a 2% event rate in the population of those original trials. So I think it's important to keep the numbers in line, that overall these numbers are alarming, but the reality is there are occasions where medicines are critical, mm-hmm. and I would tell you there are occasions where medicines save lives.
David Rudd is director of the National Center for Veteran Studies in Salt Lake City, Utah. Bart Billings, we don't want to leave the impression that the Bales case had anything to do with the prescription drugs or something like that. Bart Billings, in a case like this where somebody has problems, do you immediately suspect some sort of pharmacological decision before we go?
Well, I've been in military for 34 years, and I've been practicing seeing people as I have a doctorate in psychology, and I've been doing that for 45 years. And I've learned over the years, my first question to anyone is, what type of medication are you on?
And that's the question of Bales lawyer, Bart Billings, former military psychologist, founder and director of the International Military and Civilian Combat Stress Conference. Thanks so much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.